Well, has anybody experienced that? Too much garbage? Not taking it out? Experienced your kids not taking it out? Maybe. So this last week we talked about freedom. We talked about sin. And really, we can relate that poem to sin, right? Because you let it sit, you let it mold, you let it not take it out, not get rid of it, it starts to pile up. And then you're in a big mess, right? And so this morning, we're going to continue with a series called Free. And the title is, Don't You Know? Katrina's not in this room, but in Wisconsin they have a phrase, don't you know there, Babe? So when you go and see her after the service, you can say that to her, and she will laugh. So don't you know is what I want to talk to you about. And so has there ever been a person in your life that you have given advice to, and then they just ignored it? Yeah? Some of you are nodding, yeah? Okay. Well, and then, of course, they suffered from that, what they did with and not following the good advice. So, they didn't respond to you. How did you respond to them? If they didn't take your advice, how would you respond? Yeah.
Not likely to offer it again.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, when we realize that we are sinners and we've all fallen short of God's glory, we all realize that, right? Yeah. People look at you when you react the way you do or do something wrong and say, what is wrong with you? And so maybe sometimes you say that to yourself. You react a certain way, you respond a certain way, you do something that you shouldn't be doing, and you then, in retrospect, ask yourself, what is wrong with you? You ever experienced that? No. Thank you. Get up here and preach. Yeah, sometimes it's humbling because you get up there and it's like, this is the Lord's word, and yet I'm a sinner just like you. Right? You got to believe that. So people look at you and say, what's wrong with you? Or you look at yourself and what's wrong with myself? And you struggle. We all struggle with this conflict, this wrestling with sin in our lives. And you would do anything to change. You would do anything to get rid of the bondage of sin. And you ask yourself, what can I do? And we talked about this a little bit last week, but it's not what. It's not a what. It's a who. Who can change us? And that's Jesus. It's not about the what. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so why is it so difficult to live out the truth that Jesus has freed us from the power of sin? We all want to do what is right all the time, but we sometimes end up doing what we don't want to do. It seems unavoidable. If we can't even live up to our own standards, how are we supposed to live by God's standards? And yet we're conflicted and we struggle. Paul tells us about God's grace, and he talks about Jesus' power over and over again in Romans. And I want to look at Romans 6 today. And when I've studied Romans before when I was younger. I did a whole series through it, Bible study through it. And typically, 5, 6, and 7, Romans 5, 6, and 7 are just the heart of Romans. And 6 is like the sin and the freedom chapter. And so it talks about sin, but then it goes into freedom. And so I want to start just with the first four verses. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so Paul is describing something that we call grace. So some people at this time, when Paul was writing this, perhaps some people were suggesting that we can sin more. We should continue sinning, because if God's grace will continue to increase, well, then why not just continue to sin? Well, that's foolish. And that's what Paul is talking about. It's stupidity. The point is that God's grace will continue no matter how much we sin, but that doesn't mean that we keep sinning. And so he's kind of sarcastic, I would think. Shall we keep on sinning? Come on. Don't you know that we are that we were baptized into Christ? And so we know that sin used to control our lives. But our sinful lives ended when we became Christians, right? Or at least should have. Or we should at least be free from that. God rescued us from the power of sin. Of course, Christians still do wrong things. We all do wrong things, but they should... we should certainly not allow sin to control our lives. When you became a Christian, you were taken out of Adam and baptized into Christ. And last week, I showed this, how we were in Adam when we were born. And unfortunately, whether we sinned or not, we were still born into sin. We still have a sinful nature. And yes, we've all sinned, because Romans 3:23 says all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? So we've all sinned. So we have both. We both have the sin nature, because we were born into it, and we all have sinned. So we're doomed. We're condemned. But when we become, when we come into Christ, we get the benefits of Christ. What was true with Adam, you were condemned, you were guilty, you were unrighteous, you were a slave to sin. That's how you were. And now, what is true of Christ is true of you. You are righteous. You are freed from sin. You are not condemned. You are not guilty. Let's stop there for a minute. You are not guilty. So those of you who have false guilt, it's false. False. It's not true. You do not have any more guilt. You are freed from sin. You are freed from unrighteousness. You are freed from the mastery of sin. Right? And so that's the whole idea, is you are born again when you come into Christ. We go from being born into Adam to being born into Christ. And so the question that we face is, why do we still sin? Why do we still think that we are slaves? Why do we live in slavery to sin? Didn't you know? In verse 3 and in verse 16 of chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" In verse 16, it says again, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?" In verse 6, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with," and in other translation, "rendered powerless." And rendered is to surrender or relinquish, to give. It's powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And so the point is that we're no longer slaves to sin. We are a slave to Christ. And for some of us, that's very hard to understand, because slave has such a negative connotation. Because when we're slaves to something, we obey it. We do what it says. And how dare we do that since we're Americans? Right? We're independent. We don't... No one owns us. Well, depends on who you follow. If you follow sin, if you let sin be your master, or if you let Christ be your master, that's it. That's it. But we have a tendency to be like, to live like Adam. Someone last week did this. "We are now in Christ." There you go. And so in some sense, we are a different person, right? We have almost like a different identity. Right? We live for Christ. We are His slave. And if you think about slaves, they represent the master. And you know, there are good benefits to being a slave of Christ. Not for the other way around, right? The benefits for being a slave to sin is death, is ruined lives. There's pain. There's broken relationships. There's you name it. We could go down the list. But sin is no longer my owner. Sin is no longer your owner. Verse 11 in chapter 6. "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So, the Christian should remember the meaning of baptism. Baptism is being immersed, right? We are immersed in His death, and when we come out of the water, we rise in His resurrection. And it's a symbol of what really happens when we become Christ followers, when we are in Christ. And so a Christian should remember the meaning of baptism. He died with Christ and rose again with Christ, so that the Christian will have a new attitude to the way that he lives. If anyone is in Christ, he is completely a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in verse 12 through 14, these verses, can you put those up there? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. So, it's kind of like doing this to ourselves, right? Or allowing this to be done to ourselves, and not realizing that there's no padlock. We're not tied to this anymore. Christ has broken that. If I was strong enough, I'd break it for you, okay? You seen those big guys that do that? No? No, but I can't break this. But Christ can break this. And in reality, we're not chained. There's no padlock. I don't have to live like that. I don't have to live in bondage anymore. And so when we go away this week, when we walk away from here and we are faced with temptation, because we all will be faced with temptation, so, this is what I want you to tell yourself. I want you to pray this. I'll tell you what. I tried that this week. Because it's scriptural. It's not some, okay, here's a little phrase, and it's a little, it's truth. It's from God's Word. God's Word says, sin is not my master. Say it. Sin is not my master. And so many times, we walk through life as a Christian, and we don't tell ourselves, we don't pray that, and we find ourselves in the midst of sin, and we're binding ourselves up again, and we're living as a slave to sin. And I can relate. If you're relating with this, I'm relating with this, because we're all sinners. But the good news is that we don't have to be slaves to sin, but we can be slaves to Christ. We can be His servant. You can use that word if it feels a little better. Christ's servant. Quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Ultimately, it comes down to this, that the real cause of our trouble is failure to realize our union with Christ. Many seem to think that Christianity means that we are delivered in that sense that our sins are forgiven. But that is only the beginning. But one aspect of it. Essentially, salvation means union with Christ. Being one with Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, says Paul. All that has happened to him has happened to me. I am one with him. And as we look at Romans 5 and 6, he says, the teaching is that we have died with Christ, have been buried with Christ, have risen with Christ, and are seated in the heavenly places in Christ and with Christ. Do you believe that? We have to be reminded of that. I have to be reminded of that. The old man has been crucified, and all that belonging to Christ, you are risen with Christ. For sin, in verse 14, chapter 6, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. You are not a slave to sin any longer. Christ has ransomed you. You are free. You are free. And I want to show you a little clip this morning. There have been stories written all the time about Cinderella. And the one that's our favorite is Ever After. And there's a scene in there where Cinderella has been given freely, has been given 20 francs. And the husband of one of the slaves that worked for the evil stepmother was sold for her taxes, to pay for her taxes. So she sold him off. And Cinderella has 20 francs. She got it from somebody. And she runs to pay the debt. Let's watch.
I wish to address the issue of this gentleman. He is my servant and I am here to pay the debt against him.
It's so late, he's bought and paid for it.
I can pay you 20 gold francs.
None of you can have me for 20 gold francs. Now drive on!
I demand your release at once. I shall take this matter to the king.
The king's the one that sold him. He's now the property of Cartier.
He is not property at all, you ill-mannered cousin of God. Do you honestly think it right to chain people like Chatterall? I demand you release him at once.
Get out of my way!
Dare raise your voice to a lady, sir.
Your Highness. forgive me, sire. I make no disrespect. It's just that I'm following orders here. My job to take these criminals and priests to the coast.
A servant is not a thief, Your Highness, and those who are cannot help themselves.
Really? Well then, by all means, enlighten us.
If you suffer your people to be ill-educated and their manners corrupted from infancy, and then punish them for those crimes to which their first education disposed them, what else is to be concluded, sire, but that she first makes these and then punish them?
Well, you have it. Release him.
But, Sire,
I said release him.
Yes, Sire.
And so Christ, Jesus, died for us, and then he says, release my child, release you from the slavery of sin. He has released us from it. We are free. It's kind of like being adopted. If anybody has ever talked with you have friends that maybe have adopted, or maybe you have adopted. If you think about adopting internationally, it's a little different because it's a different nationality, it's a different culture, it's a different, way different than, and they come here. It's like that, where the person who has been adopted, comes into a new family. And everything is new. Identity, situation, culture. And that's kind of what Christ has done for us. He has adopted us. He has brought us from a whole different culture, a whole different place, a whole different lifestyle. And he has claimed us as his own. And so we are his servant. A tweet, if you would look at a tweet of Romans 6, this is what it might say. We are done with sin. Now we are in Jesus. United to him in his death and resurrection. Dead to sin and alive to God. Think about an area in your life where you struggle, like Paul has indicated in Romans 5 and 6. And as you begin to wrestle with that, and as you begin to wrestle with that sin, and you want to be freed from it, whisper to yourself, sin is not my master. Christ is my master. Christ is my master. I do not have to say yes to sin. I do not have to be in bondage to it as well. Charles Spurgeon said, if he gives you the grace to make you believe, he will give you the grace to live a holy life afterwards. Right? I mean, he's given you the grace to believe that Jesus is Lord and that God exists and all of that. He's going to give you the grace to live a holy life. He's going to give you grace to do what's right. John Piper said, I know of no other way to triumph over sin long term than to gain a distaste for it because of a superior satisfaction in God. So it's embracing your new identity, your new culture, your new adoption. Christ is your master, your father. Romans continues in chapter 6. And I just want to read to you the last part of Romans 6, 15, starting in 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know, there it is again, don't you know, that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 16 says, people who choose to obey someone, become that person's slave. A slave must do everything that his master orders. A person who sins becomes the sin's slave, John 8:34. And the result of sin will be a spiritual death. Those who obey God will live in the right way. God has forgiven them. He has considered them to be righteous. No one can serve two masters, right? Jesus talked about that. Either you are serving sin or you're serving God. And sin does not benefit us. We may think it does, but it doesn't. It ruins people's lives. It causes death. J.C. Ryle says this. This is another quote from another guy. J.C. Ryle, tell the young, tell the poor, tell the aged, tell the ignorant, tell the sick, tell the dying, tell them all about Christ, tell them of His power, tell them of His love, tell them of His doings, and tell them of His feelings. Tell them of what He has done for the chief of sinners. Tell them what He is willing to do until the last day of time. Tell it to them over and over again. Never be tired of speaking of Christ. Say to them broadly and fully, freely and unconditionally, unreservedly and undoubtedly, come unto Christ as the penitent thief did. Come unto Christ and you shall be saved. And you shall be saved. I want to end this morning with a song that you have heard over and over and over again through the decades. It's a song that is well known but resung by a guy named, I forget his name's Bart. Anyway, he's the lead singer of Mercy Me. You know him because he sings for Mercy Me. But he sang this song about grace. And the first two verses, marvelous grace of our Lord, or of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. And so I want you to listen to this song and to really soak it in and believe that we live by grace. We live for the Master who frees us. Let's listen.
count upon. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous gift from your matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
So, sin is not my master. And so you throw the chains and you walk to the cross. Sin is not my master. Christ is my master. Grace is what breaks those chains. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. He died once for all. Once for all, for every one of us. And that is grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are amazing. Lord, we come this morning with open hearts and open hands for your grace. We need you. Lord, when we face the options of being a slave to sin or a slave to God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not believe what's not true. That you would help us to believe the truth, and that is that we are no longer slaves to sin. That sin is not our master. And so this week, help us to live victoriously in Christ. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.